All right, so we were about to jump into a very interesting Paseo safe. The issue, I wasn't aware. My wife and I read from two very different angles. She is a historian, so as soon as I started to talk about it, she said, "Oh yes, that's a famous controversy." It's like, I'm just reading in the Beis Yosef. It's a Machlokas HaRishonim. I don't know what's a famous controversy and not. But you can imagine, actually, once you look at it, you sort of understand why. I want to read most of the Beis Yosef. Some of the parts may be a little trickier. Before we start, I want to just review one thing, because I would forget it, and we learned this a couple of weeks back. So you've heard this a few times already. On Membeis, on the Membeis at the bottom, and then Gimel Amud Aleph at the top. So Rav Sheshes had collected various Mishnayos, various categories, and he had said that all Mazalos are Mutarim, except for Mazal Chama and Levana, all heavenly constellations' bodies, are Mutar, except for a sun and the moon. Then he said all Partsufim, all faces, are permissible, chutz mi partzuf adam, except for a human face. And then he said that all images of animals, let's say, or the bodies, are permitted except for the tzura of a darko. The Gemara had a problem with these three statements. The question the Gemara had was, what does it mean when you say all are mutar except the following? Does it mean mutar if you find it? I mean, if you find an image of X, you find the shape of Y, does it mean you assume that people don't worship it and therefore it's not Asur B'Hana because it's not Avodah Zarah? Or does it refer to the process of making it? Right? Is it about Motse or about Oseh? The Mishnah that we're on spoke about finding things, and the Mishnah said that the only thing that's prohibited is sun, moon, and Darkon. Okay, dragon. Those are the only three things that if you find them, you have to assume that they were worshipped. Right? Automatically, you find, let's say, on a kli, and you find an image on the kli of a sun, a moon, or a dragon, you assume the kli was worshipped. Otherwise, you don't have to assume the kli was worshipped. So, the Gemara wanted to know what the Rav Sheshes had in mind with these three categories. And the problem was as follows. When he said, all tsuros are mutaros except for chama or levana, that makes sense with the Mishnah. In other words, if you find something with a chama or levana on it, it's asur, otherwise it's mutar. The last one made sense. If you find anything with an animal on it, it's mutar, unless it's a dragon. That fits perfectly with the Mishnah. The problem was the middle line. The middle line said all partsufim are mutarim except for partsuf adam. And the Mishnah didn't say anything about it being asur. If you find a person's shape, you know, you get the bucket, I guess, I think it's Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, the kernel is on the bucket. So imagine this was a permanent bucket, not a disposable bucket. So there you go, you have the image of the kernel on the bucket. So it says asur, it would be asur, because it's a partsuf adam. So the question is, but it's the Mishnah doesn't say that you assume that it's worshipped. So why does he say that kol partsufim mutarim except for partsuf ha'adam? So here the Gemara is now forced into a box. Because Abaye comes along and says, you know what, I'll tell you what makes sense. Oseh. We're not talking about if you find the image. We're talking about making the image. And making the image, that we already don't know yet, but we know later in the sugya, that the one image of a face that you're not allowed to make, for sure, at least if he, is an Adam. You're not allowed to make parts of Adam. So the question is, it means, if that's correct, it means that Abaye said, that Rav Sheshes said the following. If you find any image of a constellation, except for sun and moon, it's permitted. If you make any parts of, to make any parts of, except for parts of Adam is permitted. If you find, again, any image of an animal, except for that of a dragon, it's permitted. So the question is, make up your mind. Why are you collecting, sort of, in one line, disparate things? So Abaye just said, yeah, Resha and Seifa are bimotze, when you find it, and Mitzias in the middle case is Baose. All right, strange as it is. Rava didn't like that. So Rava found one Tana who says that you can't make a partsuf of certain kinds of people. We spoke about this, which type of, they seem to be certain known Greco-Roman gods. And Rav Sheshes was quoting Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that if you find this type of a partsuf adam, it is prohibited. So for Rava, it turns out it's motzei, motzei, motzei. Here is one of the, with an hour dispute, and this is one of the harder pieces to read in the Beis Yosef, here is the crux of the question, and this is a general methodological question in learning. When Rava disagrees with Abaye here, does he disagree in any way on the law? In other words, Abaye claims that all partsufim you may make except for partsufa adam. The Gemara later, the Gemara that we read subsequently, talks about which things you're not allowed to make. But it never says explicitly quite that you can make all other images, images of animals. It never quite says that. But Abaye says the only partsuf you may not make is adam. The question is, when Rava comes along and chooses to reread Rav Sheshes' middle statement, is he disagreeing with Abaye on the law and saying, "I disagree. Not only do I think that your structure makes no sense, motse, ose, motse, but I also disagree with you. I don't think that all partsufim are permitted, besides with the exception of Adam. I think other partsufim are also prohibited." That is a crucial question, and it's a true it's a question in general in learning. Whenever you find two answers in Tosfos, right? How is the second answer? Is it arguing with the first answer? Is it disagreeing with one of the premises of the first answer? That's sort of a classic staple in Lumdus. So in order to say that, you have to sort of get down to the point of why is the second answer being given? What was wrong with the first answer that forced whoever's giving the second answer to give a second answer? What was wrong with Abaye's suggestion here that is forcing Rava to give a different answer? Now, pshat in the Gemara, I think, is very clear, and it's probably the conclusion of the Beis Yosef and the consensus of the Gemara. Pshat in the Gemara is that Rava doesn't disagree with Abaye on the substance of any issue. Rava just thought it was an extreme stretch. Rava thought it was better to have Rav Sheshes following one opinion, Adas Yachid, if you might call it, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, rather than say that Rav Sheshes is bouncing back and forth and back and forth between the different things, right? You utter a statement, you say all X are permitted except for, all of Y are permitted except for, all of Z are permitted except for, presumably you're talking about the same type of scenario. That's why Rava wanted to say it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Each of the three cases is that of Motze. Okay, so that's just a piece of something to keep in mind in the background to understand a little bit of the discussion. Let's start at the beginning now, courtesy of the line numbers, line number 2. Kasav haMordechai beperek kolat slamim. That's our perek. Heishiv Rabbeinu Ephraim. This is Rabbeinu Ephraim of Regensburg. Al tsuros ofos vesusim shetziru bebeis haKnesses. Apparently, on the wall of the Beis haKnesses, they had images of birds and horses, of animals. Now, this is not, my sense, a very Jewish thing to do. It certainly wasn't a very Jewish thing to do. It was probably a Christian thing to do. However, the question was, now that it was done, is this in fact prohibited or not prohibited? So, Rabbeinu Ephraim said that lo dami l'tabas sheyesh ala chosam. It's not the same. We learned in our Gemara that if you have a ring with a seal on it, and he's assuming now with the parts of Adam, with the image of a person, you're not allowed to wear the ring, and if it's indented, if it's shakua, you're not allowed to stamp with it. You're not allowed to wear the ring because people will suspect you're worshipping it, and you're not allowed, if it is indented, then you're allowed to wear it because people don't worship indented images, but you're not allowed to stamp with it because you're making a parts of Adam. So, he says that the situation of the horses and the birds on the shul wall is not the same as the tabash yesh lachosam. The hosam hu demus tselem parts of Adam, o demus chama ulavana vedarkon sheovdim lahem. That's only a case of either parts of Adam or the image of a sun or a moon and a dragon that people worship. Aval tsuros ofos vesusim ein hagoyim ovdim lahem. Afilu kishehem tavnis bifnei atzman. The goyim do not worship images of animals, even when they're actually three-dimensional sculptures. They don't worship them. Kol shekein kishehem mitzuyarim al habigodim. Certainly, if they're just colored, on they're flat. Utnan kol hapartzufim mutarim chutz mipartzuf adam. And we have a brisa. We have, it's actually in the Mishnah, but this is really actually Rav Sheshes, it's not a Mishnah. All partsufim are permitted except for partsuf Adam. Umokila, now this is Rava. Rava understands that line, partsuf Adam bemotse dafka. Right? It's specifically a case where you find it, and the Rabbi Yehuda. Aval Rabbanon afilu partsuf Adam matirim bemotse. Even if you find the parts of Adam, according to the Chachamim, not according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's permitted. You're not allowed to make parts of Adam, at least, certainly when it's three dimensions. We have to talk about that. But nonetheless, certainly it's permitted to benefit when you find it. Hilkach ein kan beis mechush ad kan dato. He says, therefore, there is no concern whatsoever with the images of the animals inscribed on the shul walls, and it is permitted. Okay. Now the Gemara says, V'Rabbeinu Eliakim disagreed. Another one of the Balei HaTosos, or I'm not sure what you want to call him, another one of Chachmei Ashkenaz disagreed with Rabbeinu Ephraim. And he said the following. Now the argument is a little hard to follow. The line that he's going to bring, this first raya that he's going to bring, may not make a lot of sense. When you read it, it didn't make sense to me, and then I saw later in the paragraph that Beis Yosef says, this doesn't make any sense. So I felt better when I got there, because I didn't understand when I read it. So if you don't understand it, you shouldn't feel bad either. So he says the following, Rabbeinu Eliakim Perish, Hoditznan, Kol ha-partzufim mutarim, chutz mi-partzuf Adam. That line, that brisa, that Rav Sheshes quoted, that all partzufim are permitted except for the image of a human, hainu be'osa, that's if you're talking about making it, kidimitaretz abaye. Where Abaye says, as opposed to, now you'll see what he's going to say in another line, according to Rava, no, that's talking about only if you're, according to Rava, it's going to be Motze. And it might be that according to Rava what? It might be Oseh is prohibited by all parts of him. Motze, Rava says, if you find any parts of him, it will be permitted except for a face, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Ose, could be Rava would say, all partsufim, all images are prohibited. He'll say that in the next line, but we have to sort of just muddle through this next piece. So he says that, Hainu ba'ose, kidimitaretz abaye, in line 7. So that's when we say that kala partsufim mutarim, that Rabbeinu Ephraim used as a proof, Abaye says, that's when you're talking about making it. V'hai kolav dafka, but the truth is, it's not exhaustive. When Abaye said that you can make all parts sufa except for parts Adam, that's not true. The hatsuras chama ulavana v'darkon hein bichlal ha'iser ho v'chashiri tzairi upalchi. That the image of a moon and the sun and a dragon are all included in the iser, since they are chashuv, people will engrave them and they will worship them. This is a very difficult line. There's so many reasons why the line is difficult that I'm not even going to try to explain what he was driving at here. But let's just take the next line. The Oye Shlomar, the Dafka Abaye hu demokim lahachi ba'osa. Ah, Abaye is the one who says that line in the Brisa, that all parts sufim are permitted except for a human, Abaye says if you're making it. Aval anan kaimalan kirava. We hold like Rava. The Omar Kula, the entire statement of Rav Sheshes, the entire collection, is bimotse. If you find it, umitziyasa Rabbi Yehuda. Alma bimotse mutarim. Now, but here he makes the big leap. Uveose asurim. That doesn't say in the Gemara. Right? But that's the assumption he's making. That if you hold like, the reason why Rava disagreed with Abaye was not only because you have to bounce back and forth between Motse, Ose, and Motse, but also because he disagrees with Abaye on the law. He believes that to make it would be prohibited by all parts of him. And now he cites a mechilta, the Medrash Halacha on Shmos, on line 9, Uva mechilta, oser lasos afilu partsuf behema, v'tziporim, v'chagavim, v'dogim. It prohibits making the partsuf, the face of an animal, of birds, of grasshoppers, of fish, shenemar, tavnis kol beima asher ba'aretz. Now that pasuk is actually from Vayeschanan, where the Torah warns, after seeing God at Har Sinai, you may not make the tavnis of any of the animals, the tavnis of the moon, the sun, the stars, any of the animals, and so on. So therefore, he says, you're not allowed to make images of any animals. V'alpi harayos halalu, based upon these proofs, tziva lahasir tzuras arayos anachashim shetziru bebeis haknesses bekolonia, ad kan lashono. In the shul in Cologne, he ordered them to remove the images of the lions and of the snakes.
Even if it's not a partsuf? Even if it's just...
Well, it was faces. It wasn't three-dimensional. So that's the interesting thing. Number one, he believes that all animals are us. So number two, he believes it applies even when it's flat. Now, interestingly enough, this would not be the f- first time, if he were right, in Jewish history, that shuls do things that are not necessarily, have things that aren't proper. I haven't looked around here, but I was in L.A. for Shabbos. So I was, if I may jokingly say, I was in a left-wing shul, and I looked up and I saw a menorah of seven branches, and it looked metal to me. I'm thinking, you know, what's going on? This is the left-wing shul. And then I was in the second shul, okay? You know, one step to the right, and I saw a menorah. There was also seven branches. So I haven't looked around in my shul yet, and I haven't seen one by the Amud, but I'm curious. I haven't figured it out. Why is it? How do they do this? Now, technically, if someone gave the menorah to a shul as a gift, I think it's not usher to have, but why would anybody sort of commission such a thing? I have no idea. Right? We saw that on Membeis Simon Aleph, so I'm still trying to figure this out. But you should know that there's a very long history of rabbis and shuls. I'm sorry for saying this, Rabbi Lichtenstein, of rabbis and shuls where the rabbi thinks one thing and the shul does another thing. So if you go to the archaeological digs in Eretz Yisrael, many of the shuls that were found, there are all sorts of mosaics on the floor that seem to be not in consonance with rabbinic views, whatever that means. Some people think it means that the people didn't subscribe to rabbinic Judaism, but anybody who looks at the contemporary world realizes that's not true. There are lots of people who subscribe to rabbinic Judaism but don't actually listen to rabbis. So anyway, be that as it may, I'm still trying to figure out the seven branch menorahs. So this would, if Rabbeinu Eliakim were correct, this would not be the first shul in history that had such a problem. I don't know. I didn't ask my wife what was the end story. He commanded they removed it, but you could imagine, you know, I think like Lahavdil in the Church of the Holy Sepulcher, so like you're not allowed to even move a ladder, right? That's the way they made peace, because each way you move one thing here, the other person moves it back, so there are like rules or something like that. So I don't know what actually happened in the Maskana, but that was where Rabbeinu Eliakim said, take it off the walls, erase it from the walls, all right? So as I mentioned last time in YU, we had this. The mural, which now apparently has become more than once the subject of protest art, but when they take the protest papers off and you see the original mural, so the sun and the moon and the stars are now gone. Marshall?
You know, the halacha, I mean, we've spent the last 3 years talking about a factual empirical of what is it the Odei Chachamim actually worship, right? And that is always driving the halachic decision process.
No,
they worship this, they...
No. There are two separate Isurim here. You have to be sorted out too. What the Mishnah speaks about, finding an image on a clay, plus what Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda about having something on a ring, that was a maris. That relates to what people worship. Meaning the Mishnah wants to know whether or not goyim worship it, and therefore it's aser bahanah because they worship it. And Rabbi Yehuda was warned by Shmuel that it's a marisayim, people will think you're worshiping it. But when we talk about making the images, not for avodah zarah purposes, not for worship, that's a separate prohibition. That's lo sasun et. And that can have no taint of idolatry whatsoever, but it's sort of an anti-iconographic stance of the Torah, which says there are certain images you may not make. You may see this as the Torah's gezeira, in a sense. A gezeira, we don't make these because these things were once associated with avodah zarah, but they sort of stand on their own 2 feet. In other words, may not make sun and the moon and the heavenly bodies, will not make, you know, whatever, set 2-3-dimensional image of a human, and so on. Right? In other words, a dark cone, there's no prohibition in making a dark cone, in making a image of a dragon, certainly in a context where nobody worships it. The only concern is, in a context where people worshipped it, what do you assume about the kli that's found with a dragon on it? So you have to really separate into sort of two categories. The issue of the menorah, certainly, right? And the prohibition of making the kelim, the vessels that match that which were found in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple, that has nothing to do with avodah zarah per se, right? I don't think there's any idolatrous taint there, but somehow it's an independent standing prohibition of the temple is holy ground, there's certain things you don't imitate in your own home or something like that. So that's why I think they're separate. Well, clearly no one today is worshipping, at least in this society, almost no one. We don't typically encounter people who are worshipping the heavenly luminaries. But nonetheless, the prohibition remains in force, you know, whatever the details of the prohibition are. So that's why they have to sort of separate into sort of two different tracks. Okay, so coming back, that was Rabbeinu Eliakim, that was his order. So we're now on line 11. He quotes further, Vagos Ashiri, Kosaf Bishem Orzarua. Orzarua, I think, is Rav Yitzchak of Vienna, I think 12th or 13th century. Divrei Rabbeinu Eliakim, he quotes the Orzarua, quoting Rabbeinu Eliakim, Vinosan Tam Od. He gave another reason. Mishum Dechevan de Isa, de Be'inon Shaloye He Dover Chotseitz Beino Levain Hakir. The Gemara Bracho says that when you daven, you're not supposed to have something between you and the wall. Vigam Amru. Harotze Sheyashir Yatspin, if you want to become wealthy, you should daven northward. Yesterday we read in the Torah reading that the in the Heichal, when you entered, smack in the middle, you ran into the Mizbeach Hazav. But to the north was the Shulchan. To the south was the menorah. The Shulchan is the symbol, the crown of the Shulchan is the symbol of the Keser of Osher, of wealth. And the menorah is the symbol of Chachma, so Chazal have an expression, if you want to become wise, Harotza Lahachim Yadrim, you should turn to Darum, Harotza Lahashir Yatsbin, you should turn to the north. So, it seems to me, they don't explain, but it sounds like these images were on the northern wall of the Beis HaKnesses. And if you wanted to become wealthy, you would want to turn towards the north, but they were interrupting between you and the wall. Now this is the Beis Yosef doesn't talk about it, this is somewhat an odd interpretation. There is certainly a notion of not having a hefsek, a break between you and the wall. That's usually having an object between you and the wall. If you have an image that's sort of drawn on the wall, that's not a hefsek between you and the kir. My assumption is what he means is that the whole idea of not having an interruption between you and the wall is that you shouldn't have a distraction. And if you have something painted on the wall, so the fact that physically it doesn't create any distance between you and the wall doesn't matter. It has the effect of distracting. But anyway, so that, what's that?
It's true.
I don't question it. It certainly would be nice artwork is very distracting. So a very plain wall would be the best thing for tefillah. So that's what the Arzara added an additional reason. That's what he said. Okay, so now the Kasav Ode, Astal line 13, Uchashaya Abba Mori Na'ar, the Urzaru, I assume it's the Urzaru is writing, when my father was a young man, how you met Siren Bebes HaKnesses, Tsuros, Ilanos, the Ophos, images of trees and birds, Vidon Le Isur.
He was done.
And he thought that it was prohibited. Hashta Isbarer Lon, the Chulu Asiri Ba'asiya. Now it is clear that everything is osur to make, kegon ha-partsufim, the hainu adam, ubehemos, v'chayos, v'tsuros. You're not allowed to make faces of people, of animals, of wild animals, and any tsuros kegon ofos v'dagim v'nechashim v'toloim. Images like birds and fish and snakes and worms. Utslamim kegon tavnis v'davar ha-osur kidemus kulhu. You can't make sculptures of any of these things. Ha'osa osam, kulu ha'osa, ha'osa osam over belav. Anyone who makes them violates a losase. V'asu lo acherim. If someone makes it for you, mutter min haTorah, you don't violate anything. But v'asur midrabanan ashiyichos tzurasam, ad kan l'shona. But you're not allowed. It's not if someone makes it for you. There's no prohibition on having it, but you have to damage it a little bit so nobody thinks that you're actually worshiping it. That's what Shmuel told Rav Yehuda about his signet ring, which is smash a part of the image so it won't be whole and nobody will suspect that you're worshiping it. That's what the Or Zeruah said.
So how do we, justify the whole image of the Kruvim? And because they are. Does that have any relevance?
So one second. So hold on. For Rabbeinu Eliakim, he would certainly say it would be a problem. It would be a problem. But Rabbeinu Eliakim isn't the final word. And that's where the Beis Yosef is about to take over and argue that this is a rejected position. But he does have to respond to the arguments that Rabbeinu Eliakim presented. Why are those arguments not arguments? But fundamentally speaking, so I can cheat and tell you the bottom line is that we prohibit making... Nothing is prohibited, with one exception, if it's two dimensions. In other words, the images that you can't make of the sun, well, I don't want to say this, because the sun and the moon is even two-dimensional, but the making images of people, making a bust of a human being, is only prohibited if it is three-dimensional. If it is two-dimensional, there is no prohibition. It is only kruvim, all the things, the creatures, if you want to make a four-headed beast, if it's flat, it's fine, only if it's three-dimensional. The only thing that you're not allowed to be mitzayer in two dimensions are the heavenly luminaries. That's the only thing, for whatever reason, the Baalei Tosfos talk about here. It's a machlokas harishonim, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that the only things you cannot make when it's in two dimensions are the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the constellations. Anything else, two dimensions is permitted, three dimensions is prohibited.
So there's nothing that we learn from the fact that Kruvim were in... You know, the Aron, the Kruvim on the Aron, they were three-dimensional.
Well, the whole point is, so when you look at the Drasha, I don't remember if the Gemara quoted this part, but the way they interpret Lo Sasuniti, Elohe Chesef Elohe Zahav Lo Sasu Lachem, so Lo Sasuniti prohibits making all these things, let's say in three dimensions, all the things that are in the heavenly abode. And then Elohe Chesef, Chazal Darshan, or I think Rashi quotes it, if you make to Kruvim, as the Torah commanded, but you make them out of Kesef, you violated an Avera, and Velo Hei Zahav Lo Sasu Lachem, if you make more than two Kruvim, even though you made them out of gold, you also violated the law. So there is a prohibition of making Kruvim, but only in three dimensions, and beyond the two that are found on the Aron. The interesting question you could ask, once you raise the issue, is that Shlomo did make other Kruvim. He made two very large Kruvim of wood, you know, that sort of filled out the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So exactly what the basis of that I never looked into, but if you're talking about flat, so flat is fine, as long as it's not the sun, you know, the sun and the moon and the heavenly bodies. Right. Okay. And just worth repeating what the Gemara said last time is that it's only prohibited if it's made for aesthetic purposes. If it's made for educational purposes, like Rabban Gamliel, that's how the whole discussion started. Rabban Gamliel's tavlaos that he used to show the witnesses, did the moon look like this, did the moon look like that? The Gemara concludes by saying, l'islam eid shani, that it's only prohibited for aesthetic purposes, not if you're doing it for educational purposes. Okay. So now the Beis Yosef says as follows on line 16. Now, earlier he had quoted two views of the Ran, in terms of what is prohibited, and he's going to make reference to them now. He writes the following: Ukvar nisba'er le'el on line 16, the lalashon achron shekasaf aran kol hatsuros mutaros afilu boltos chutz me'osan she'asra Torah mishum lo sason iti. The second version in the Ran, the second lashon in the Ran, assumes that you're allowed to make three-dimensional images of everything, except for that those images that the Torah specifically prohibited. And I believe that according to the Ran, if you look in the Ran, you'll see that even the sun, the moon, and the stars, two dimensions would be permitted, only three dimensions would be prohibited. So v'kach kasav haRambam zal b'paragimel mehilchas avodah zara v'zeh lashono. The Rambam writes that way: Tsuras habehemos ushar nefesh chaya. The images of animals and any living creature, chutz min ha'adam, except for a person, and v'tzura ha'ilanu sedesha'im, the images of trees and grasses of vegetation, v'chayotze bohen, mutur latzur osam, v'afilu hoisa hatzura boletes. You are permitted to create these sculptures, even though it is a sculpture, even though it is three-dimensional. V'zem mevuar k'divrei Rabbeinu Ephraim. It is explicitly the Rambam's opinion like Rabbeinu Ephraim, and that is the Ran's second lashon. Even according to the first version that the Ran actually likes, that's the one he decides in accordance with. The Kasfo Rabbeinu b'shem Ramban Zal, and the Torah quoted this in the name of the Ramban. Even though he prohibits making three-dimensional sculptures, even by all the other images, nonetheless, mikol makom k'shehein shokos, when they are flat or when they're indented, when they're engraven, and they're subsurface, Mishra Shari, it's permitted. Now, what are these images in the Beis HaKnesses? They're neither three-dimensional outward nor three-dimensional inward. So he says, Ukvar nispar la'el, it has already been explained earlier, Shehametsuyar bisamonim, anything which is colored with paints, let's say, al haluach ve'la tavla, on a board or on a tablet, mikri shokea, that's like it's being indented. In other words, it's three-dimensional standing out versus flat and three-dimensional standing in. The Gam Mordechai Atzmo Kasa B'Shem Haram, in the name of the Marami Rittenberg, Lahatir, Litzayer Tsuros B'Minei Tzuv'onim Mipnei She'eno Bolet. Even if you held like the second, the first sheet on the Ran, the one that he accepts, that you're not allowed to make three-dimensional sculptures, even all the other images, those that the Torah then single out, nonetheless, these tsuros in the Beis HaKnesses were flat, so it wouldn't be a problem according to that. Hilkach midivrei kulam nilmod. The bechi haygavna shahayu mitzuyarim bakosel shari. It's permitted. V'shelo kedivrei Rabbeinu El Yakim. Okay.
Isn't he?
What's that?
Isn't he referring as bolet something like material that would stick out? Whereas bolet really doesn't mean a separate image.
So I think
that's mutter. That's why the bolet is mutter.
You mean like sewn on?
Yeah, I know what you're asking. Yeah, like, right. Now, I was afraid you were going to ask that question because I don't know the answer to that question, so I was hoping you wouldn't ask it. What's the status of something that's... It's not true that it's still not three-dimensional. Right, it's still flat. It's just,
it's not. I guess you look on the parochus, they actually...
like the tefillin over there.
Right, it's slightly raised.
Some of them could be raised all the way out.
Right. So it's not
sort
the
handiwork.
What's that? It's not the same exact. What's that?
I think so,
but it's true. I was afraid you were going to ask, somebody was going to ask that question. It's not mitzuyer either, you know, with savarim. It's
right.
Not truly, look, technically, when you, most things that you paint, it's also, it's not visible that it's raised,
yeah,
right? So that's different than this. This is visible. I suspect, you know, this is sort of the Potter-Stewart test, right? Which is, you know, let's say it's a little puffy. The luchos sometimes they have a little bit of sticking out, you know, and the kruvim have that. I don't know the exact line. I am inclined to think that that's called flat. That's called, that's not called bolate. Okay, now, the part that I want to sort of emphasize before, if you skip to line 28, the Beis Yosef is responding one by one to the arguments of Rabbeinu Eliakim. In the previous one, he just says he didn't understand that line, that I didn't understand either. Now he says on line 28, Umasha kasav odye shlomar didavka abayi hu demoki laba osa. Remember, Rabbeinu Eliakim wanted to say that when Abayi was the one who claimed that the statement, kolah partzufa mutarm chutz mi partzufa adam, Abayi said that is ba'osa. Right, it's Adam Motze Ose Motze. So Rabbeinu Eliakim said, but Rava disagrees. Yeah, Rava disagrees and says it's also Motze, and it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. And Rabbeinu Eliakim wants to say that Rava would hold. Not only does he disagree with what Rav Sheshes was talking about, but he disagrees with the din, and he says it's prohibited to actually make any parts of him, not just parts of Adam. Motze is different. So he says the following: Umashe kasa ve'odye shlomar dedafka bayu demoki lebaose avavanan kaimalan karava de amar kula b'motze v'chule alma b'motze mutarim uva'ose asurim. So the Beis Yosef says, what are you talking about? He says, yesh lomar de rava lonadi meukimta dabaye. Rava only rejected Abaye's reading mishum de dechika le'ukme reisha b'seifa b'chad gavna u'metziyasa b'chad gavna. It's just Rava didn't like the idea that you go back A-B-A. It doesn't make sense for Rav Sheshes to talk that way. U'lahachi ukma kula b'motze aval le'inyan dina. With respect to what the halacha actually is, ain hakanami the sphere like Abaye. Of course, he holds like Abaye. What's the question? The shari lasos on line 31 kol ha partzufin chutz mi partzuf adam. That it's prohibited, it's permitted to make all partzufim except for partzuf adam. The chayvan de lo ashkachan labaye de palig b'hachi. You don't find them actually arguing with that. Lo mukmin unplug to benayu. As a general rule of rabbinic textual interpretation, is we prefer to be mema'it b'machlokes, to minimize argument. If we don't have clear argument, we prefer not to see it. As you know well enough, rabbis argue sufficient amount as it is. It's a tradition of Klal Yisrael, both the laity and the rabbinate. We try to be mema'it b'machlokes. So in this case, if Abaye and Rava never explicitly argued about the permissibility of making other partsufim other than that of a person, and Abaye says it's permitted, and Rava gives an okimta for a different reason. He disagrees with Abaye because of the structure of Rav Sheshes's statements, so then there's no reason to assume that Abaye and Rava actually argue. Okay. And finally, if you skip to learn line 35, sort of most of the way across the line, the passage from the Mechilta that spoke about the prohibition of making images of all the animals, so this is an easy one to solve, because the Gemara already solved this one. Umash shekasav de Mechilta, lefi ani estaiti nira lomar, the Beis Yosef says, I think the following. De Mechilta mairi be'osa avodazara mamish, va'afil l'gai. It's talking about making to worship the image. We had such an interpretation of the Gemara, amen beis. When they asked the Kasha about the prohibition of making all sorts of animals, the Gemara says, that's Be'osa in order to worship. But what we're talking about now is making just for artistic purposes and aesthetic purposes. We're not, of course, anything is prohibited to make if you're talking about making to worship it. So that's what he says. That's Be'osa Avodah Zarah Mamish. Okay, now if you go to line 37, skip down really just one line, towards the end of the line, after the period. Umashe kasav shal pi harayus ha'elu tziva lahasir tzuras harayus nechashim shetziru bebeis haknesses bekolonia. Now, Beis Yosef says, fine, forget everything we disagree with until now. The fact that Rabbeinu Eliakim said, take it down. So lo yadati mahoa b'takanaso. I don't know what he accomplished. The haladivrei hakol sh'ar partzufim sharu b'motze. Everybody agrees, right? All other partzufim are permitted if you find them. Meaning, once they're made, there's no prohibition in possessing them. And especially because nobody worships these. V'chevan dibemotze sharu. Since it's permitted once you find it, afal gad da have efsha lamechash. Dilma palchi le lo chashirin lahachi. Even though you could have, perhaps argue, maybe they worship it, we're not concerned about that. Because they don't. Umashma de lekaim unami shari. You're allowed to allow it to exist. The chevon, the lesbe chashash of odezara, amaya serina lekaimo. If you're not afraid that anybody worships these images, why would you? Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't make it, but once you find it, it shouldn't be a problem. Umashma dehua dinba. Now, this is the last interesting question. If a guy makes something for you that you're not allowed to make, so there's no prohibition in owning it unless there's a chashad that you might worship it. But what happens if a Jew made it? He wasn't allowed to make it. So you didn't do anything wrong. But nonetheless, you now possess the item that was made by Isser. Now, the truth is, in many cases, you wouldn't know who made it, you know, unless the guy, you know, put his initials on the bottom. Okay, if it says Joe Goldberg, you know, unless you know you have a problem. But here he says the following. The Beis Yosef says, Umashma, it's not explicit, the Huadin be'aso Yisrael. That there's no difference between whether or not a non-Jew made it or a Jew made it. It's the same thing. You're not allowed to make it. You're not allowed to ask a guy to make it. But once it's made, that's like motzah. You can keep it. The nehi da osa avar isura. It's true. The Jew who made it violated an avera. Mikol makom likaimo mutter. But once it's done, you can keep it. Va'osa isura da avad b'shas asiya avad. The guy who did an avera, that's when he made it. The avera is not having it. V'shuvein lo takana. Destroying it doesn't solve the problem. He still violated an avera. Once he did it, he did it. Afalpi sheyisirim. Even if you remove it later. So he says, v'efshar lomar, so I actually wonder, in light of this, I haven't done research, nor asked the powers that be, but, you know, once the mural was made, I don't even know actually who made the mural. I don't know who painted the mural. I think it's known who painted this mural and why you in the library lobby. But once it was made, presumably there's no issur in having it. So the Beis Yosef just gives perhaps a defense here, but I don't think he poskens this way. V'efshar lomar, line 42, the afal pikein, even though technically you're allowed to permit it, lo ratza shehiya zecher v'kiyim l'damar shenaseh be'isser lifidato zal. It's true, technically speaking, there's no isser, but it's kind of pasnish. You have sitting in front of the shul the image that is a reminder that somebody did an avera. That's bottom line. Aval kvar kasafti, Beis Yosef says shakala poskim chalukin alav umatirin lasos kenafir l'chatrila. He said we don't hold that way. We don't pask like Rabbeinu Yakim. We hold like Rabbeinu Ephraim. It is permissible to make. It is certainly permissible to have those images there. And I'll read you the Shulchan Aruch. I didn't, because I put the line numbers and I lost it off the page. I didn't think for the extra line or two. Do you have one part of the you have the first part of the Shulchan Aruch?
From last right. week. Here's
oh, yeah, no, I think you have the first line anyway. You're only missing one line. So if you go to line 46, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Also, letzayir tzuro shebemadar shechina. You're not allowed to make images of those things in the heavenly, in the abode of the Shechina. Kigon dalid panim b'hadei adadi. We saw this in the Gemara. All four faces of the Merkava: the lion, the griffin, vulture, the kruv, and the cherub, and the person at once. V'chein tzuros srafim v'fanam al chasharis. You can't make tzuros of the angels. V'chein tzuros adam levado, even if just a person. Kol elu asur lasos afilu marshal heim lenoi, even though they're only for aesthetic purposes. Dim oved kol chavim asaim lo asur lahashosam. If a guy made it for him, you're not allowed to keep them around. It's not clear. I don't know if this is. This is not even Rabbeinu Eliyakim. I assume this is because of a concern of worship. However, umihu, the Ramah says, imotzeo sam mutarim. If you find them, you're allowed to keep them. Milavad b'cham alavana, except for the sun and the moon. Shederach obi kochav laavdam. O sheyesh hochacha shasa laavdam. Sheoz asa b'chal atzlamim. The only time you can't keep it, if you find it, is if it's the sun and the moon that people worship. People do not worship the sun and the moon today anymore, at least not in our society typically. Or if you find something which clear was worshipped. Kemosh nisgayer nisbar b'reish ha-simen. Now the Mechaber continues. Ba'meh devar ha-mamurim. When is this true? Be'boletes. When it stands out. Aval b'shokas. If it is recessed. Ka'orsam she'orgim be'beged. So that sounds like Rabbi Feldman, your case, that and Marshall is correct, that that's called flat. If it's weaved onto a beged, v'shemitzayrim be'kosel b'samanim, or you color it with paints, mutter lasosam, you're allowed to do it. But v'tsuras chama olavana v'kochavim, but the images of the heavenly, the celestial bodies, asur bein boltos bein shokos. It doesn't matter even if they are two-dimensional, even if they are sunk in, that is prohibited to make. But v'imehem lehislamed lehavin ulahoros Kulan mutaros afilu balto. So you can make even the sun, the moon, and the stars, which you normally cannot make at all, you can make even in three dimensions if the purpose is for learning. So if you're making a skull, if you're making the image of a face of a person because you're having medical students work on it for reconstructive surgery or something like that, that's 100% permitted. That's not included in this. It's only the only prohibition on making these things is when they're done for aesthetic purposes only, or a kavah chomer if they're used for the worship of Avodah Zarah. And then the
Michelangelo were Jewish.
Yes.
It's absolutely awesome for him to make David.
Categorically so, yes. Okay.
And if somebody gave me the David as a gift,
so it would be permissible. Should be permissible to keep. I think I have to check one thing because the Ove Kochav Masam Lo Asur LaHashosam. I think it's only because of a fear of worship, and if that's the issue, I don't think anybody is worshiping it today. So,
and what's the maskana on coins? So that have images of people.
So I think the assumption is today that they're not worshipped.
Right.
So and as we would assume so that mot and so the Gemara says motze,
right.
Motze partzufim is permitted, except of Adam according to Rabbi Yehuda, and even according to Rabbi Yehuda, these coins are not.
What about, like,
they're not worshipped.
What about, like,
I say the money may be worshipped, but the coins themselves aren't worshipped.
What about stars and stuff on like a $5 bill? There's stars.
So again, there's no. If you are the engraver for the mint, you should not. You are not allowed to create such an engraving.
But if it were three dimensional, I'd have a problem.
No, even two dimensional for the stars, for the sun, the moon, the stars.
But to find it.
So I would say, I think that today nobody worships, you know, in our society nobody's choshed you. No, you know, you find the sun and the moon, the stars on a plate, nobody's worshiping that. So that's part A. And as far as the Beis HaKnesses dispute about the other images, the Mechaber writes in Sivvav, this came off the page, Tsuras Behemos, Chayos, Ophos Vidagim, the images of animals, of wild animals, of birds, of fish, Vitsuros Ilanos Udashaim, and the images of trees and vegetation. Machayotze behem, mutar latsurosam, you're allowed to make them, v'afilu hoysa tsura boletes, even if the image is three-dimensional. He paskins in Shulchan Aruch, nobody disputes the point against Rabbeinu Eliakim in favor of the position of Rabbeinu Ephraim, which means that it's not a problem. So that's, anyway, so that, yes, Rabbi Lichtenstein.
You didn't read that last in parentheses, maybe because it's out, but I think maybe it is. V'yesh matirim b'shel rabim d'leko chashado.
So that goes back not on the making of the sun, the moon, and the stars, but on the issue of things that were choshe that you might be worshipped. So if it's a public thing, if it's something that's sitting in public, nobody's choshe you. That goes back to the Gemara, where the Gemara asked the question about starting from Gamliel's Tavlaos. The Gemara was exploring why it's mutter, and they quoted the story of the Beis HaKnesses of Shafi Yosef in Harda, where Avua de Shmuel and all the elders used to go worship Beis HaKnesses, and yet there was an antarti right there. How could that be? And the Gemara said it wasn't the problem. They didn't make it, but it wasn't the problem being there and having it, letting it exist, because b'shel rabim leka chashada, when it's so public, nobody's going to suspect you of worshiping in that context. So the Gemara even suggested for Amun Gamliel, maybe that also might have been not a problem. He was possessing it, initially, because since everybody's always entering Eitzel Venasi, so nobody's going to be choshe to him of actually worshiping it. But that doesn't address the question of making it. That Rama goes back on earlier in the Shulchan Aruch about the situation of being Mekayim, something where people might suspect you of actually worshiping. So there the Rama says that there are those who say that's the earlier teretz in the Gemara, that b'shel rabim leka chashada. The reason why the Mechaber doesn't quote it is because the Rambam and the Rif don't quote it. They only quote the final teretz of the Gemara, which lehislamed shani, right? That it's mutar lehislamed, lahavinu lahoros, and the Rambam and the Rif apparently understand that once you get to the conclusion of the Gemara, that leniency of b'shel rabim was dismissed, but the Rama sort of says, but some do hold actually that both answers stand in the conclusion of the Gemara. Okay, and so that is the Shulchan Aruch Psak. As I mentioned before, there is a machlokes harishonim about the three-dimensional question by the two-dimensional images of the sun, the moon, and the stars. But both the Rambam and the Balei HaTosfos and many other rishonim paskin that it is prohibited, even though it's only in two dimensions. Tosfos happens to be here. I'll just read this Tosfos, and that will be the conclusion of this sugya. So the Tosos is the fourth Tosos on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Dibur Maskil V'Hara Megamliel Yachid Hava. The Gemara wanted to know initially to ask the kasha, how could Rabban Gamliel have these images? He was a yachid. He wasn't a public. He wasn't. It wasn't Peshel Rabin. It wasn't in public. The Gemara's answer, first answer, was Rabban Gamliel, because he was the nasi. His office was basically a public place. So Tosus asked the following question: the im tomar amaylo mishani ditzuras levana lo haisa boletes ulakach asa Rabban Gamliel. Why didn't the Gemara give the teretz that Rabban Gamliel's images were flat? And that's why there was no prohibition. And therefore, v'omer vi rabbeinu tam v'riva, a group of the Balei Tosfos, based upon this question, why the Gemara didn't give this answer, says, ki b'chama luvana umazalos, ein chiluk bein bolten l'shokin. There's no difference between whether they are stand out or whether they're shokea, they're indented or flat for that matter. V'chein barakia shokim heim. And this was Marshall made this comment a few weeks ago. It's his observation, as Tosa says already, because when we see the moon, sun, the moon, and the stars, they are two-dimensional, they're flat. And it's in accordance with what we see that the Torah prohibited us making those images. The only distinction that is drawn is when it comes to partsufim, where we normally see them in three dimensions. So under those circumstances, we say the only prohibition that exists is three dimensions. But with things that we normally see in two dimensions, so those things would be prohibited even if it is only a two-dimensional object. Marshall.
Just a word choice question. Why is Tosfot using shokin when they actually mean flat? Is it because categorically they sort of read the shokin means either flat or concave? Or is there actually like a specificity to whether they use shokin? Because you certainly don't see them shokin, you see them flat.
Correct. So I think Tosfot just equates the two. I think he assumes that they're identical. In other words, which is the argument for why on the paroches that's also called flat, because there are really two categories. There's bolate and not bolate. Right. Okay. So let's at least start the next Mishnah. It's a really a very interesting. The Gemara on this Mishnah, there's no halacha in it. It's absolutely fascinating Gemara, fascinating Agada. We will get to that, God willing, in 2 weeks. I want to just read the Mishnah because it is the entire halachic discussion. What do you do with Avodah Zarah that's Aser Bahana? So, for starters, what do you do with anything that's Aser Bahana that you're not allowed to get benefit from? So we typically, in our lives, I think, only encounter one thing. I don't want to say on a regular basis, but on an annual basis, which is Aser Bahana.
On Pesach.
Which is Chametz and Pesach. Now, Chametz and Pesach, though, is complicated. Why? Because we don't generally wait for Chametz to become prohibited in Hana before we destroy it. We destroy it before the time of the Isser Chametz comes. What would happen afterwards is a more interesting question. So here's a little bit of background. There is a Mishnah in Temura, not a place where most of us usually learn. Some very important Mishnayos are buried in the middle of, I would call Masechtos, in the middle of nowhere. The Mishnah in Temura says that there are two kinds of substances in Halacha that are prohibited b'hana'ah, that you're not allowed to get benefit from. One are Nisrafim, and one are Nikbarim. Nisrafim means things that there is a mitzvah from the Torah to burn. They are Aser B'hana'ah, and there's a commandment to burn them. Nikbarim means things that there is a prohibition of benefit, getting benefit from the Torah, and there is no mitzvah to burn them. There's no mitzvah to bury them, per se. The only Isser Hana, I'd like to jokingly say, where the mitzvah, it's not just that there's no mitzvah to burn it, but there's actually a mitzvah to bury it, is a human being who's died, is a mace. But all other things that are called nikbarin means that you're not that there's no mitzvah burning. Now, why does that matter? It matters for the following reason. If there's a mitzvah to burn something that's aser b'hana, once you burn it, you're allowed to benefit from the ashes. There's a principle that kol davar shenaseis mitzvaso, by a karban. Once you have done the requisite avodah by a karban, everything that's been done to it needs to be done, if you derive benefit from it subsequently, you cannot violate a Torah prohibition of me'ila. As a general rule, because the rule is called davar shenaseis mitzvaso ein mo'alin bo. You can't violate mila. Once the mitzvah is done, in mina Torah, it's kind of free. So if you take something that there's a mitzvah to burn, for example, orla, the fruits of orla, the first 3 years, there is a mitzvah of sreifa. And again, I should emphasize, if they disappear and the birds eat them, there's no mitzvah to go after the birds and burn the orla. It just means if you have orla and you want to burn it, you can then use the ashes. Things that are not minha nisrafim, that are minha nikbarim, meaning no mitzvah to burn them, even if you burn them, you're not allowed to benefit from the ashes. It's still an isser hana. So if you were to take something like basar b'chalav, I believe, is min hanikbarim. So if you cook real basar b'chalav min haTorah, you're not allowed to benefit from it. If you burn it and convert it into ashes, that's very nice, but you still can't use the ashes. There are actually discussions in the Rishonim about this. They used to make shampoo or somehow, and the ashes were involved somehow. The ashes of basar b'chalav asar b'hana. So the question is, what exactly is the status of avodah zarah? Or I say any isurei hana. Chametz by Pesach is a big machlokas hatanaim. Rabbi Yehuda believes that there's a mitzvah of sreifa, ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa, and it would appear that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if you left the chametz, if you burn chametz before the time of Isser comes, everybody agrees you can use the ashes because it's not chametz. In other words, chametz only becomes aser b'hana when it is edible, at least by a dog, for sure, and Pesach comes, or Chatzos, or Midrabban on the hour before Chatzos comes. But if when Pesach enters, the food is already non-edible to a dog, it's not chametz anymore, there's no Isser whatsoever according to anybody. But let's say I left the chametz on after Chatzos on Erev Pesach, or on to Pesach, and now I burn it. So the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa, whether or not you can get benefit from the ashes depends upon this very question. If chametz is minhan israfim, so then you're not allowed, then you can benefit from the ashes. If it's not, if it's just the mitzvah of getting rid of the chametz, however you get rid of it, mevara, you know, in any way that he can, so then there's no permissibility of getting benefit from the ashes. Now, avodah zarah is not in many cases, I would say, well, in some cases, it's certainly not minhan israfim, in that not everything can you burn. There's some parts, theoretically, should be. If you can burn them, psilei Elohim tisrafun ba'esh, I would imagine, I'm not sure, but I imagine you should be able to benefit from the ashes. But in many cases, you actually can't burn the avodah zarah, because it's not burnable, right? If it's made out of stone or it's made out of metal, sreifa doesn't work, in which case, they're going to be asarana. The question becomes, how do you dispose of them? So one of the classic ways of disposing of them is taking them to the Yam HaMelach and disposing of their whole there. I've always actually kind of wondered if archaeologists have found, as the Yam HaMelach is receding, have they been turning up lots of avodah zarah, you know, lots of things. I haven't heard about it, read anything about it, but a very interesting question. So the question is, what do you do if you're not going to do with that?
You think that was an actual realistic...
I don't think it was very practical, to be honest with you. But the Mishnah, it's a trope in the Mishnah, Yolachana liyam hamelach. You know, so I don't know how often people really actually did that. But I guess we would find out eventually as the shores recede. So the Mishnah says the following, and we'll conclude with this. Rabbi Yose Omer, Shochek Vizore Laruach, O Matya Layam. He can take the avodah zarah, and assuming it's metal right now, grind it up into a powder, and scatter it to the wind. Amru lo, or throw it into the sea. The Chachamim responded, and they disagreed. Amru lo, af hu nasa zevel. Nope. The metal is going to serve as fertilizer. And v'nemar lo yidbach b'yadcha me'uma min acherim. You're not allowed to get any itty bit of hana from avodah zarah. And therefore, the option of scattering it to the wind is actually not an option. That's what the Mishnah says. The question, of course, is what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim? What are they arguing about? Rabbi Yosi thinks that it's mutter to get hana, a small amount of hana. So the Baalei HaTosfos explain here that this is actually a very important principle of halacha. It's not always understood by people. Some people do not quite grasp the subtleties. There's a principle of what's known zev ezeh gorim. Supposing I have, take the following. If you take, let's say, cheese, milk, and you convert it into cheese with rennet that is truly treif, non-kosher rennet. So we say that you're not allowed to consume the cheese, that the rennet is not batel, even if it's less than a 60th, because you can see the effects of the rennet. A davar ha-ma'amid, lo batel, something that causes the cheese to curdle, there's no bittel for that. What happens if you took, you used the rennet that you used, half of it was kosher rennet, half of it was non-kosher rennet. What is the status of the cheese? And it's assuming that neither one of the two rennets was enough to start the reaction. You needed both together working in conjunction. That's called ze v'ze goyim. When you have two agents that enact the transformation of some kind, And both are necessary. One without the other, nothing will happen. So the Isser was necessary, but the Isser couldn't have done it on its own. What is the status of the end product? It is a machlokes, classically, Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim in Tzmura, whether Zeves Agorim is prohibited according to Rabbi Eliezer, or the Chachamim say it's permitted. Tosa suggests that that's actually what the machlokes is here. Rabbi Yosef is not concerned. Why? Because this metal, certainly, is only going to serve as a partial agent of fertilizer. In other words, the metal alone anyway, you can't grow anything in. The metal may help minerals, plants to absorb some minerals, and some which are metals. We also consume metals, copper and zinc and so on and iron. But the plants cannot grow from that alone. You need other, it's only a contributor, it's only a partial contributor to the fertilization. And therefore, it's Zeves Agorim, which Rabbi Yosef says is permissible here, and here the Chachamim would appear to be paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. This happens to be a big deal. I don't know many of the details because I'm not involved, but in the kashrus industry in general, when you talk about enzymes and things that transform things, Zeves Agorim is a very important principle, but it has to actually be understood correctly. And one of the observations that have been made is that if you have catalyst A that turns, you know, X into Y, and then you have catalyst B, which turns Y into Z, right, and takes you in the second step, that's not called Zeves Agorim. If one of those two catalysts is Usser, it's entirely Usser. You need the same process, one of the two transformations, where that transformation only takes place because of a combination of the two agents, one which is Usser, one which is Mutter. In other words, Zeves Agorim means the two things are performing the same function, and then one of them is Isser, one of them is Heter, and neither one is enough to do it on its own. That's where we have the Machlokas. But if you have multiple stages, and one entire stage is accomplished by the agent, which is Usser, that isn't actually called Zeves Agorim. But in this case, both are essentially contributing to the fertilizing of the plants. Rabbi Yossi says Zeves Agorim is Mutter, and therefore you're allowed to scatter the Avodah this way, Avodah Zarah this way, and the Chacham say Zeves Agorim is Usser, and therefore you have to dispose of it by throwing it into the sea.